The number of residents 65 and older in Metro Kansas City will nearly double by the year 2030. That's one key finding of a new study by the Heartland Engagement Initiative, an endeavor to increase awareness of aging issues and funding opportunities among funders within a several hundred mile radius of Kansas City. We'll talk about it today on the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, go to practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. Scott Helm is with us. He is with the Midwest Center for Nonprofit Leadership at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. And John Carney joins us as well. He's with the Center for Practical Bioethics. Scott, let's start with you. Give us a rundown of the numbers in this study.
Sure. We looked at Kansas City's five key counties in the metropolitan area, and I shouldn't say key counties, but five counties that have been focused on the most from an urban planning, urban impact perspective. And so the study represents the what goes on in those five counties.
And the five counties are on the Missouri side?
They're Jackson, Clay, and Platt. And on the Kansas side, they're Wyandotte and Johnson.
Okay. And the numbers show?
The numbers show that we're going to, in an aggregate, we're going to double the 65-plus population. We'll double by 2030. These are based on projections by MARC, which is our Mid-America Regional Council, and they are their projections for the 2030 year. What we expect to happen from the when I say aggregate, right now we estimate that there are about 180,000 65-plus in Kansas City as of 2007. By 2030, we expect that number to grow to more than 370,000. So in aggregate, they'll double. Percentage-wise, they'll increase from about 11% of the population today is 65 and older, and in 2030 that'll be 19%, and in some counties it'll be more than 20%.
So these trends will not happen evenly throughout the different counties involved with this.
Exactly, and John will be able to speak to this a little better than I would, but what I think is important is that these projections are based on, all projections are based on past evidence. So these projections are based on what's happened in the past as far as people moving into the suburbs and out of the urban core. So what we're seeing is a continued growth in the suburban counties, particularly Johnson, Platt, and Clay County, where we see the majority of the growth. So some of those counties, we would expect the 65-plus population to increase more than it would in, say, Wyandotte and Jackson. However, in Jackson County, more than one in five of every citizen in the county will be over 65.
So, John, you're working with an initiative called KC4 Aging in Community. Tell us about that initiative and what those numbers mean to this endeavor.
Well, the initiative is designed to help Kansas City deal with the aging population, as Scott just kind of highlighted, and also then to begin to prepare for us in a variety of areas, housing and transportation and healthcare services and technology, caregiving issues, to do a better job of readying the community to be more sustainable in addressing the needs of this kind of shift that's really a seismic shift that's going to be occurring not only in Kansas City but throughout the nation and the planet in terms of being able to address the needs of older adults as we age as a society.
And this is primarily the baby boomers, I presume.
It is, but we've seen this occurring over the course of the last 15, 20 years just in the number of older people living longer. So we're going to contribute to that. Those of us that are in that aging baby boomer population, as I am, are going to contribute to that. But it's actually been taken off within the last 20 years and will continue really dramatically over the course of the next 20.
Now, Scott, this reflects Kansas City. So another community may come up with similar numbers but different variations, I suppose.
Yeah, it is very possible. The Kansas City metropolitan area continues to grow population-wise as a whole. There are cities around the country. Cleveland is one example. Baltimore is another, where urban areas are losing population. Ours is seeing a growth. What we need to grow, and John and I have talked about this on an ongoing basis, is some of our more rural areas and our cities and townships to be able to drill down closer to places like Lee Summit, which is in our metropolitan area. It's not in this particular study other than from the Jackson County perspective. And then also areas on the Kansas side like Overland Park. What does this mean for like a city of Overland Park? What would it mean for a city north of the river in our geography? like a Parkville. And so we need to continue to drill down to get more specific for those city planners as well as for the larger metropolitan planning as a whole, too.
And that's the idea in order to provide data for these community planners, right,
that's
John?
That's exactly right. That's what we're really trying to do is help city planners, counties, governments, Mark and kind of their collective effort in trying to figure out what are the regional needs that we have. As Scott mentioned earlier, these numbers are based on the past. And what we know to be true is that as societies age, and this is other countries, European countries mainly, there's a kind of a movement of that elderly population to urban cores. So some of the assumptions we've made are that we're going to continue to grow like we have in the past, and we may see not only do we have an aging population, but we have a tendency to move back to the center, which is really going to affect us because of the urban sprawl issues that Kansas City faces. So this really gives us kind of a baseline approach. It kind of helps us to start thinking through these things, helping civic leaders, county governments, and others to say, what's this going to look like? And really kind of help bring those people together and say, we need to look at this as a region because the transportation issues that we've got facing us with an elderly population and with urban sprawl are really going to be crippling if we don't do something collectively as a group and get these issues under control.
So, Scott, it almost sounds like someone like you will be very busy in the coming years with this because there will be a need for continuing data. And as John said, this is only baseline, so we need more information, do we not?
No, we do. And this is your typical iceberg analogy where the 10% of the iceberg is above the water, I think is what they usually say, something along those lines. And so we haven't even covered the entire tip yet with the data that's necessary. I think if there was one finding that came out of the Heartland engagement, the best work done on that was what are our gaps in data? And really because we made an initial effort in the late fall, really early winter, to bring together some researchers through Kansas and Missouri and specifically from the metropolitan area. And John and I have talked about the need to really the urgency around getting clarifying what our gaps are to provide those researchers with the questions that would fit their expertise so that we can help build a variety of networks around this initiative, one being the research initiative, where we can really bring in the expertise of demographers, the expertise of healthcare researchers, the expertise of people who do the Missouri Senior Report, OSEDA, out at the University of Missouri Columbia. And so that we want to be able to bring in as much expertise from around the region. We have a lot of it in Kansas City and the surrounding areas that can really add significant value, I think, to this effort.
But even taking what they've already done, what Scott and his group, the groups that he just talked about, have already done, kind of this alarm should be going off. I mean, if we're going to have almost 150% increase in over the age of 65 in, say, Johnson County, which is really what they're projecting, based on our current assessment of what we're doing, think about what happens if we end up having that influx of elderly to those areas simply because we're talking about an urbanization of the elderly. And, it's going to take us 20 years to build some of these infrastructures that are going to be responsive to the needs of an older population. So we can't wait. I mean, we need to make sure that people understand the urgency of this issue, that they begin to talk about it in their neighborhoods and in their local communities, in the county governments, and in this regional planning effort. This is really critical stuff, and we can't just sit back and think, oh, we're going to respond to it over time, because it's just not going to happen.
Well, Scott, with what John said, you said gaps, and let's identify some gaps, sure. And then I want to get with John about implications of what all this means. So what have you identified in terms of gaps?
Sure. We definitely want more information on the 45 to 64 population. Who are they? Now, the interesting thing is that we're actually spanning generations. So the 45 to 64 is really the heart, the kind of the core of the baby boom generation. We know from some generational research that their proclivities, their interests, their behavior patterns are unique from the generation that preceded them. That is part of, I think, what John was getting at, and I'll let him speak to that in more detail, but that's part of what he was getting at with we can't expect the same behavior patterns to exist for this baby boom generation that existed for previous generations.
So, John, implications?
Well, it just means that most of us, as we grew up, saw nursing homes in a very different way than our parents did. We're not moving there. We're not going to go there as a generation. And so that implication alone, in terms of most of that industry was built 40 to 60 years ago, and the people who built those facilities are not rebuilding them, which means that influx of people that we're going to see as we have an aging society are going to stay in their neighborhoods, or they're going to want to stay in their neighborhoods or in environments that are consistent with what a neighborhood should look like to them, that are very different than the previous generation. And as we age and we have more and more chronic diseases and other kind of, you know, frailties that hit us, it's going to change the way that we function in society, where we drive, where we get our services, what neighborhoods look like, you know. And we always laugh about the kind of the blue hair alert that we think with, you know, little old ladies and little old guys driving around going 45 miles an hour when the rest of us want to go 60 on the highways. That's going to change over the course of the next 20 years.
It's going to be us.
It is going to be us.
Yeah. It will be you.
We're going to be driving Scott crazy.
Well, you talked a little bit then about housing with nursing homes, but then the healthcare aspects of it, and this is something that was included in the study, about some characteristics about how many smokers there are, average body mass index. Talk about that a little bit, Scott.
Yeah, that data was pulled from the Missouri Senior Report, and if I can just real quick kind of put in a plug for what they do with the Missouri Senior Report. It's recognized nationally, especially in John's initiative, the aging in communities, as kind of the paradigm that we want to achieve from a research spectrum and data collection aspect. And that the Missouri Senior Report is very comprehensive, and it actually gets to some of these health indicators, which from a planning perspective of social services and types of services John's talking about being in communities, holistic services, holistic communities, is invaluable. It has to be considered. So what we did pull and look at were percent of the population smoking in the previous 12 months, body mass index, which is a measure of obesity, specifically that greater than 30. And I think that public health alerts around the diabetes and obesity are very well recognized, especially in this country. And we also specifically looked at diabetes. And the troubling trend from a researcher's perspective or from an analysis perspective is that the areas that are the counties that have the larger urban centers, and also those centers with greatest income diversity, especially with greater populations of people who are living below the poverty line, have some of these most significant health concerns. So are the services aren't necessarily there now. I've done some work in many of these underserved neighborhoods in both Kansas City, Kansas, and in Kansas City, Missouri, both of which are counties in this study. And there aren't the drug stores that are delivering prescription meds. There's not necessarily meal services. Most of it's grassroots volunteer efforts that just aren't comprehensive enough to meet the needs of the people in those communities. And so we're seeing, for example, in Jackson County, you know, more than 12% of the 65-plus population today is smoking. That has implications for healthcare. Body mass index in Johnson County, greater than 30, more than 30%. So 3 out of every 10 seniors, 65 plus, have BMIs over 30%, which BMI over 30 is a sign of obesity, is a measure of obesity. It's a crude measure, but it's a measure nonetheless. And diabetes, more than 20%. And all the health implications. I'm not a health expert by any stretch, but the implications around diabetes and what it does to all the organs is significant.
Well, John, you've been talking about chronic diseases, and this is a measure of the chronic diseases that we will see that we will have to deal with over the next 20 years or so.
Those are the biggest, really, actually. Hypertension, maybe, in addition to that, and then the corresponding, you know, the heart and lung diseases that go with that, with the incidence of smoking and those kind of things that Scott just talked about. I mean, it should be alarming to us. It should be concerning to us, and we should be able to begin to take a look at what it is we need to do. Just this week, the Kansas Health Institute unveiled their 2009 health status report, and two of the counties in their study, and this was just Kansas, but Wyandotte and Johnson were on the top of the list and on the bottom of the list in terms of health status. And those are two of the counties in our metro area that we need to be talking about. And it has a lot to do with those disparities that he talked about in terms of socioeconomic status. But this is the group that is going to be most affected by this are elderly. And those individuals need our assistance in being able to provide the right set of services and support systems that currently really don't exist right now. And we've got some work ahead of us. We've got the initiative has a lot of work on its plate.
So the numbers are one thing. What we do about it is quite another.
That's true. We need to get started.
Okay. Well, Scott Helm is with the Midwest Center for Nonprofit Leadership. at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. You're a senior fellow there, I understand?
Yes,
okay.
That's correct.
And John Carney is the Vice President for Aging and End of Life at the Center for Practical Bioethics. Thanks for joining us today, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, you've been listening to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. I'm your host, Laurel LeBou. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.